Thank you for tuning in to PolitiTalk with Lane Palmer. Today I have a friend of mine named Deanna. Deanna, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you've come to have the political mindset that you do.
Great. Well, firstly, I want to thank Lane for inviting me on today to speak a little more about Ukraine, maybe give a little clarification, just a little background on me. So I was born in Pavlodar, Kazakhstan, and I was adopted. I came up to America when I was about 3 years old, but I found my birth family and I connected with them starting from the age of nine. Even though I was born in Kazakhstan, my heritage is Russian and Ukrainian, and my birth family speaks Russian. And I think growing up, I was always made very much aware of Eastern European culture. My family was really great in the fact that they enabled me to be able to connect with my culture, going to like language exchanges, language villages. I made a ton of friends who were also Eastern European and got to practice language skills. So it's really interesting, I think, that I got to grow up with kind of both perspectives, that American perspective, but also that Eastern European perspective. Then additionally, I just thought I might also add, I also studied Russian and Central Eurasian studies in college as well.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely awesome that you grew up in that way. So with what's going on right now, I mean, you had already alluded to it, obviously, with the state of the world, the way that it is, what were your initial thoughts when everything started happening?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think, I was shocked. I was just really heartbroken. I was shocked, disbelief, heartbroken. I think me and a lot of my friends who were also like Eastern European, a lot of us didn't think that things were gonna happen the way they did. For people who might not be aware, Ukraine has kind of been at war for the past 7 to 8 years. And there was a lot of these kinds of fear tactics that had been going on for many years. So a lot of people were kind of just thinking that this whole threat of war and everything was just that kind of a similar thing to what we were seeing over the past few years. A lot of us were really, really caught off guard, and we're just really shocked and saddened. It's just it's so unnecessary and so sad. I think that was my initial reaction.
Now, for those of you who may not necessarily know what's going on, Deanna, how would you best describe? I know it's a little tough to do. If you were to just kind of give a general overview of why this is happening, why is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many reasons and there's so many complexities to this question. I'm going to give one of the best answers I think I can give. So it kind of, if you take it way back to when the Soviet Union fell, when the Soviet Union fell, and then, all these post-Soviet countries were just scrambling for independence. Obviously in the many years since the fall of the Soviet Union, Ukraine has really westernized, has modernized. Ukraine has a lot of natural resources, and I think if giving a perspective on like Putin and like his mentality, Putin kind of has this glorified vision of the good old days of the Soviet Union. He's written about it, and you can even, I can't think of like where we can, the reference to the specific like articles, but that was for, Putin wrote that the, one of the biggest tragedies was the fall of the Soviet Union. So I think for Putin, he sees, you know, Eastern Europe and a lot of these post-Soviet countries as a part of, like, it's like they're a part of Russia and Russia's a part of them. There's like, they're kind of like one in the same. So really, as things happened over the last 7-8 years, I don't know if people are aware of the things that happened with Maidan, annexing of Crimea, over, and then, you know, Ukraine wanting to become a part of NATO. It just seems that Ukraine has really tried to separate themselves from the East, and that really is a huge threat to Putin and to really what he believes in. And I think that's a big part of why this is happening ultimately. I hope that kind of gives a general answer, but like I said, there's many, many components to all of this as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very complex issue. What are some of the mindsets that you see coming from both the Russian and Ukraine side? Like, just regular everyday people. How did you notice before all of this started happening, like, what kind of, like, their mindset was?
Yeah, no, it's really, really good questions, because I think there's so many different people out there, just like here. And I think, so I was teaching English in Siberia. I'm trying to remember what year that was. I think that was in 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. And that was around the time that there was the annexing of Crimea. And I remember speaking to kind of Russian, some, you know, children and just my coworkers while I was in Siberia. And a lot of them, they kind of wanted to, some people just didn't want to talk about it. Some people wanted to close their eyes to it. And then some people would say, well, Crimea was ours to begin with, so we're just taking back what's ours. So that was that perspective that I was getting from Russians back then. And then I think now, with everything that's going on, just one thing that I wanted to share is that in Russia, I think the majority of people still receive their news via the television. Mm-hmm. And one of the most infamous channels in Russia, it's called Russia Один. It's called Russia One, and it's pretty much like a propaganda machine for the Kremlin. There's just a real crackdown on what the everyday Russian can consume. And because of that, a lot of people are very limited in what they have access to. I know Facebook's currently down in Russia, and I think they're trying to get Instagram down, Telegram down as well. So currently in Russia, I just spoke with one of my friends who's living in Moscow, and he said that it is kind of a mixed bag. He said a lot of the youth, a lot of people within, yeah, I would say our age range, you know, to like 25, 30, maybe under 35, they're confused and they're upset because so many people in Russia and so many people in Ukraine have family ties, like aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, grandparents. There's a lot of connection there. And from what it seems like is, and I'm sure it was shared on the news, what was being told to the Russians is that they were just protecting the Russians in Donbass and in those areas in eastern Ukraine. They were claiming that the people who are living in that area were being persecuted because they were Russian, they're Russian speaking, and they were like pro-Russia. And Putin says, he was saying, oh, well, that's why we're going to go in and we're just going to protect those people. He doesn't even refer to it as a war. He just says it's like a mission. They're going to go in and do that. And he said, we aren't going to, you know, no civilians will be harmed. We're going in to protect these people. So that is the message that's being said to the average Russian. I think amongst all of us, there's just a lot of shock and disbelief and sadness and this feeling of helplessness. I think this was actually shared on the news over the last few days, but in a lot of major Russian cities, Moscow, St. Petersburg, Pskov, there were actually hundreds and hundreds of people who were protesting the war. Mm-hmm. They were saying, like, "Не война," which is no war. And to protest in Russia is, there's a lot of risks involved, because you could lose your job, you could get sent to prison, you could get hefty fines. It's pretty scary going out and doing that, because more than likely you're going to be arrested. So the fact that hundreds and thousands of Russians, you know, did take to the street, that's a huge deal. I hope that kind of answers some of those questions. And then I guess as far as Ukrainians, I don't know if you'll be able to speak with my friend Masha later, but I guess, this was kind of how I felt, and this is what a lot of other Ukrainians kind of were telling me, was initially they didn't think that this was all going to happen. Even Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, like days before, you know, Putin began this, Zelensky was even saying to the Western media, like, that, oh, you're kind of, you're fueling the fire. We don't think this is going to happen. I'm listening to my, you know, Ukrainian intelligence, and it's going to be okay. And then obviously it wasn't. Just shock, disbelief, anger, you know, because obviously I kind of see it as like, you're on the playground, and then there's this, there's a, you know, maybe a second grader, and then there's like a 12th grader, you know. It's just completely unfair that, you know, Russia, this huge superpower with nuclear missiles and million-man militia, would go against, you know, Ukraine. It's terrible. And Putin even says, like, Ukrainians are our brothers and our sisters, you know, but they're very, very angry, very upset, devastated. A lot of the families, so currently in Ukraine, if you are between the ages of 18 and like 60, men can't leave the country, but thousands upon thousands of Ukrainian women and children have fled to neighboring countries like Poland and Hungary, you know, for refuge. So families are being broken apart. But I would say, even though Ukrainian people are, you know, it's terrible what's going on, and Ukrainians are very much upset, it's incredibly impressive to see the resolve that they have, and the fight that they have, and the love that they have for their country. You know, just everyday civilians, you know, going into, you know, putting their lives, you know, on the line and fighting for their country. Like, I saw some videos of men lying on the ground while tanks were coming, and they were kind of trying to make a barrier to stop the tanks from rolling in, like with their bodies. That was probably a very long explanation, but I hope that gave a little clarity.
No, I love it. I love the insight that you have into this. Yeah, that was one thing that I kind of noticed as well. It does appear to be a very generational thing in terms of mindsets going into this. Obviously, Putin is much older. Now, you had also alluded to, protests, and I know that you were involved in one over this weekend in Chicago. What was that like, being there and being involved in that?
Yeah. I was really glad to go. My friend Masha, she had mentioned the protest to me, and she said we should go together, and I was happy to join. That took place by the Bean. I don't know how many people are familiar with downtown Chicago, but that whole, there's the actual Bean, and then there's this huge area around it. And it started off where there's an area in Chicago, it's called Ukrainian Village. It's about a 5-mile walk. But protests initially started there. And then a bunch of protesters walked to the Bean. We started at the Bean, but you couldn't see. There was no open space. It was just packed and filled with people, with flags, with their children, with their families. I think the majority of people who were there were probably, Eastern European or Ukrainian. There was a lot of chanting, a lot of people singing the national anthem of Ukraine, and just kind of coming together in solidarity. And I think what I took from that experience is, for I think anyone, it's so, nobody really would think that we would be going to war and that this would be happening now. But I think being able to come together and be around, your brothers and sisters, people who are going through similar things, people who, have no idea if their families are going to be okay, all of that, just knowing that you can come together and, show support and have that solidarity and see just the vast amount of people who are in support of Ukraine. That camaraderie felt really amazing, and it felt like we were able to do something to make some kind of a little impact, even though we couldn't physically be there.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I love that. This question is going to sound a little blatant, but I would say at the same time, I feel like there is a large population of people who kind of feel this way. Why should Americans care about what's going on?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. I think there's a lot of reasons why people should care. Many reasons, I guess. One reason people should care is that, a superpower country, Russia, is invading a country that has its own language, its own culture, its own autocracy, civilians are being killed, children are dying, and Ukraine didn't do anything, they're mm-hmm. just wanting to live their lives. They just want to be themselves and be free to express who they are. And when a superpower like Russia tries to, when they attack people, it's wrong. So there's that reason. And then some people are saying that Putin wants to bring back the Soviet Union. I don't know how true that is, but I do know that there are other post-Soviet countries that are a little wary, and a little afraid that, oh, if Putin comes for Ukraine, he might try to come for us or our regions, because there are lots of regions in these post-Soviet other countries where they have a lot of, you know, Russian speakers or ethnic Russian people. Like, for example, I'm from Pavlodar, and I'm from like northern Kazakhstan, and there's a lot of ethnic like Russians in that area. So a lot of people are afraid of that. And honestly, I think that Putin, he's one of the most powerful, one of the richest people in the world, if not the richest and most powerful man in the world. And he's been president since, I believe, either 1999 or 2000. So when you have that kind of control and power for so long, I think you really lose touch with reality. And I think, he's surrounded by yes men, and he doesn't know his limits. And, you know, Russia has, you know, nuclear weapons. So a lot of people are trying to figure out, like, what is Putin going to do? What is going on in his mind? And we don't really know, because everyone is so utterly shocked. And there is that fear of potential nuclear war. I think those are just a few reasons that people should be worried. And then another thing that I thought I'd mention is just from the perspective, more of the perspective of Russian people, I think it's important to note that the Russian people and the Russian government are two different things. So in Russia, it's not really, there's not a democracy. You don't have the same kind of freedoms that you get in the U.S., of course, you know, with elections, being able to protest and not be afraid of being arrested, all of these things. So I can definitely understand how many people could be really frustrated with Russia, with the Russian people, and just have a lot of anger. But I just wanted to note that there are a lot of Russian people who absolutely do not agree with what's happening. They do not agree with the government, and virtually in a lot of ways, the common Russian person is kind of powerless, and that there's not much they can do. One thing that I heard within the last few days, there was a text that came out about a fallen Russian soldier where he was corresponding with his mother. And in that conversation before he died, when he was texting with her, she was asking him, oh, are you done with doing those military drills and exercises? When are you gonna come home? You're just in Odessa, right? And then he said something to the lines of, Mom, I'm not in Odessa. I'm in Kiev. These aren't drills. These aren't just exercises. You know, civilians are being targeted, and I'm afraid. I don't know what to do, and I'm scared. And then he died. Like I said, that was read by that. I think I'm trying to remember who read that. But there was some prominent Ukrainian leader today who spoke, and he did share that. It appears that some people might have been kind of brought into this whole situation without maybe fully realizing what was going to happen. I can't say for all people, but that's something that was shared today. I just think it's such a tragedy for everybody, for, you know, Ukrainians, for Russians, for the whole world. 'Cause we all just deserve to be free, to live our lives, and to be able to express ourselves in who we are. Yeah.
Hmm. That was really beautifully said. What can people do now to help? I know that there are a lot of people here who just kind of feel powerless, like there's really nothing that they can do. Is there anything that they can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of things that can be done. I guess a lot of people were trying to get supplies together for the troops in Ukraine. I know there's a big shortage of supplies when it comes to like gear, first aid, just general men's clothes, boots, turnigans, those kinds of things. So I know nationwide they're doing a lot of donations for the troops, and then they're gonna fly that out to soldiers in the next coming weeks. I also know that Ukraine has the Ukrainian military and the government have kind of come together, and I don't have the number on me, but I can look that up and give it to you later, where you can send donations to monetary donations to the military or to the government for relief. And then I believe there's also a lot of women and children who have become refugees, who've gone to countries like Poland, Hungary. They need food, you know, and monetary support as well. So I can definitely provide some resources there as well for you to share people. And then I guess just supporting local Ukrainian businesses, that's always great. And then if you have any friends who are Ukrainians or Eastern European, just speaking with them, asking them if they're okay, asking if there's any way that you can support them or show support to them. Those are just a few examples, I think, of how you can show your support.
Yeah, well, thank you again so much for coming on and discussing this. I know this is not an easy topic by any means, but I thoroughly appreciate your insight into this. Did you have any final thoughts that you wanted to share or anything like that?
I guess I just thank anyone who's listening to the conversation, and, you know, do what you need to do to kind of get through, because I know we're all going through a really difficult time with this, whether or not if you're Eastern European or Ukrainian, just kind of come together, you know, in solidarity, show support, and I don't know, it's okay to not be okay. Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much, and thank you for listening.